The Unsigned Chart on Cambridge 105.
So as we always do on a Thursday night, we start off our entertainment hour with a look at the Unsigned Chart, as revealed by Tim on last night's New Music Generator programme. Interesting week, really. It's one of those weeks when it's completely upside down compared to what it was when we took our midweek look at it on Monday. I guess in part that might be due to the long bank holiday weekend. We'll go down the chart for you in just a moment, but first let's hear the new entry. Up for the vote this week, Phoenix Calling and Bring the Roof Down.
The Unsigned Chart on Cambridge 105.
Time is just right now. Throw away the air.
So that's our new entry from Phoenix Calling, Bring the Roof Down, up for your vote over the next 7 days in the Unsigned chart. They, of course, played one of our new music generator sessions at the Portland Arms just last month. I think that was on the 21st that they did that one. They've also lined up over the next few months for an indoor alternative festival in both Nottingham and Bristol, and also another event which is all the way down in Cornwall. So that's a bit of a trek, but I guess they'll be playing Cambridge again as well pretty soon indeed. They are a Phoenix Calling. Let's take a look now at the rest of the chart this week.
The top five records from Cambridge's hottest musicians, as voted for by you.
So here we are then at number five, Flaming June, last week's number one, but down to number five with Rumpelstiltskin. At number four, Alice Rayner, Fallen For You. Three is Radar and Airstrip One. At two, last week's new entry, Gary Hellman, Breathe Slowly. It was completely out of the chart on Monday, but has managed to climb up. Gary's obviously been marshalling the support there to take Breathe Slowly to number two. And at number one, again, it's Bee Music and The Forest.
The Unsigned chart on Cambridge 105.
No other people with me. No. there's frost upon the ground.
Will be frost upon the ground tonight as well. Bee Music and The Forest. It's number one in the unsigned chart this week. Don't forget, we welcome you to send in your entries for bits of music that will be included in the unsigned chart. Should send those to Tim at Cambridge105.com. He'll sift through them, play the best on the New Music Generator programme. And then the unsigned chart will be featured as well here on Drive every Monday and Thursday night. And also every morning on 105 Breakfast. This week with Lottie and Neil. Next week back again with Tim and Lottie. They feature their piece of unsigned chart around about 8:30 every morning. This week's film review is a little bit more up to date, I guess, and we're going to be looking at G.I. Joe and Trance. Let's start with G.I. Joe. What did you make of that?
Well, indeed, the Hasbro heroes, as it goes on this summary, are back for more thrills in this testosterone-laden sequel. Stars The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, Channing Tatum, Bruce Willis and Jonathan Pryce. Check out the clip.
Today, the world's elite fighting force betrayed our nation. On my orders, the G.I. Joes were terminated with extreme prejudice.
They're all dead.
We were set up right from the start.
Well, that's it then. End of the franchise.
Wow, that was... See, because it is that short, that tells you a lot about what's in the trailer, that there was a lot of action.
I had to edit it. Yes. There was a whole load of gunfire, and I kind of figured I could bring it back as sort of like a pseudo That's My Dog kind of feature,
yeah,
but
I don't think
it worked.
Well, G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra, which was the previous film to this, grossed more than $300 million. I just can't believe it myself. Now this second, even more explosive adventure sends our iconic characters from Hasbro, makers of Transformers, on their most dangerous mission yet. Picking up where the first film left off, villainous Master of Disguise, Zartan, has assumed the identity of the US President. Working with the Joe's nemesis, the Cobra Commander, Zartan is aiming nanotech warheads at strategic locations across the globe, warheads capable of destroying entire countries. The only ones who can stop him are the Joes themselves, but Zartan has had most of them exterminated and frames the remaining survivors as traitors. Accompanied by Duke, played by Channing Tatum, new face Roadblock, Dwayne Johnson, must seek the help of the original G.I. Joe himself, General Joseph Colton, played by Bruce Willis, in order to stop this deadly enemy once and for all. My goodness. My goodness. No. No. The whole plot is convoluted, full of holes. The characters just are flat as anything. It really is a special effects, you know, action sequel that is bigger in like scale and probably budget, but just why?
Oh dear,
why? I watched Rise of Cobra as well. How long
since the last one?
Three, 4 years now.
Okay.
Yeah, so, again, the thing with the Hasbro films are they're making films based on games and toys, Transformers, battleships, so it's all about the effect and, you know...
So does it matter, you know, if it gives, if you like, the kids enough inspiration to keep playing with and to buy the toys?
Certainly, I think it's probably a heavy marketing advert. That's what it is, to get people to get kids to want to buy.
It's a bit akin to people who walk around, like, you know, with a t-shirt saying Levi Jeans or something on it, you know.
Yeah.
They're buying a t-shirt to promote another product, and the same.
Yeah.
you're paying your money to get into the cinema just
to watch an
extended infomercial.
Yeah. No, I watched that. It maintained my interest for the... How long is it? It's probably about 110 minutes. It maintained...
110 minutes? That's almost 2 hours.
Yeah, it maintained my interest just about, but it jumps all over the place just to set up some big action set piece. And then, yeah, and it... To be honest, it could be sold. They could bring out more. They could make another sequel. They've done it with Transformers. Why not? Even set up a possible sequel with Battleship as well. But if you like standard popcorn fare, that's gonna, you know, you don't have to switch on, just let it wash over you and have loads of action, and The Rock is always good. I always enjoy watching him.
He can act, yes.
He can act, and he's still making films, and he, compared to some of his other wrestling counterparts that have got movies. If you're happy to just go in and enjoy, and don't watch it in 3D, the 3D is awful. It's like proper mirroring, like double imaging going on. I thought it was something wrong with my glasses, but
so no, clearly it's one of these movies which they've converted into 3D after the event rather than actually capturing it in the 3D format in the first place.
There's one scene where it's like over, they're talking in a conference room and it's over the shoulder, and some guy's shoulder is like right up in your face. It's like, I don't want to look at his shoulder, I want to look at the scene behind him. So, if you want to catch it, though, it's on at Cineworld at 8 o'clock in 3D or 10 past 9 in 3D, or at View Tonight, again, no 2D showing, so they're really pushing the 3D this evening, at 10 to 6, half 8, or 10 past 11, and it's showing this weekend, on Friday at Cineworld. There's 2D showings at 20 past 3, 10 past 8, and then there's Rest in 3D, or View's also got 2D showings tomorrow at half 10, half 1, and 10 to 4. But check the websites for further listings, whether it's 3D or 2D.
I'm thinking Mr. Willis should maybe have a word with his agent.
Yes, yeah, he's not been in some great film. Well, no, he was good in Looper, but I think he's coming out in Red 2 later on this year, which was where they play, like, retired, like, assassins.
Yes, and I remember the original. I guess is one of these things, because he has been, it wasn't that long ago, we were talking about the Die Hard movie, and I guess sometimes the way these movies work, they can be like sitting on the shelves for a little while whilst they're staggering the release window.
Yeah.
So don't hear about the guy for ages, and all of a sudden there's a whole load of movies back to back which are being released.
So that's all I have to say with G.I. Joe.
Oh dear, doesn't sound too promising, really, does it?
But fear not, because the next film I have to talk about is something to get excited about. Trance, the new film by Danny Boyle, who has directed such a wide variety of different genre films, including 28 Days Later for horror, Sunshine for sci-fi, The Beach, Slumdog Millionaire, and now he's going for his own version of Inception, as it were. If you guys have seen this, it's... but I'm going to play you a clip first. This is Trance.
There's something hidden inside me. What is it?
It's a memory.
A memory?
A memory of what you did.
Anyone can steal a painting.
Let's start the bidding at £5 million.
All it takes is a bit of muscle.
But no piece of art is worth a human life.
Stop right there.
Have you ever been hypnotized before?
Whatever is in his head, she can find.
Now I want you to relax, Simon.
Stop.
What can you make him do?
Anything.
All part of your plan. Two of you planning it together.
She put that there. It's not real.
He wants the painting for himself.
I don't believe that.
Where is it? Why did you lie to me?
Her memory is locked in a cage. And with enough force, the lock can be broken.
Elizabeth, I have something to tell you.
So that's Trance. Rather liked the look of that when I was whizzing through the clip a little earlier on. What did you think?
Well, you've seen Mind Games on screen before, but never quite like this. Boyle's energetic and twisty thriller centres on fine art auctioneer Simon, played by James McAvoy, who teams up with a team of crooks led by Frank, who played by excellently by Vincent Cassell, to steal a valued Goya painting. But when Simon betrays the gang following the heist, his life turns upside down and inside out. After being knocked unconscious by the criminals, Simon consequently suffers from amnesia. meaning he can't reveal the location of where he hid the painting. Physical threats and torture yield nothing, so the ruthless Frank elicits the help of hypnotherapist Elizabeth, played by Rosario Dawson, to get inside Simon's head and find the answers. But is everything as straightforward as it seems? As Elizabeth delves further into Simon's subconscious, even more troubling questions are revealed, blurring the line between truth and deceit, reality and dreams. And yes, if you were fans of, say, like Inception, 127 Hours he also directed, or Source Code, this is definitely a film for you. It's wonderfully filmed, beautifully stylish, and the story, it really messes with you. You're like, you think you know what's happening, and then it changes. It's compared to, I keep going back to Inception, because that's the closest one I can think of in terms of it being a heist film, you know, criminals out to steal something and dealing with the mind. It's a very subjective film. It's, you really don't know who's telling the truth and who's lying. It's rated a 15, but it's got some very strong gory scenes and some sexual scenes. I see some, like, kind of sort of family groups going in. I was like, oh, that's a bit interesting. But, it's...
That's quite interesting, though. Is that not... Because these days, if you're watching any of the TV channels, particularly a satellite-based channel, let's say, for example, when Game of Thrones comes on, that's a very good example. They will warn you. There will be a warning which will say something along the lines of there is sexual and very violent content from the start. And is that not the sort of thing that should be, I think sometimes is, displayed on posters just to let people really know what they're going to? I know that there's the rating system, you'll tell me, but clearly that's not quite doing the job.
I don't think it is. I mean, apart from when you sit down and you have the BBFC certificate, and they're a bit more clear on what is in it that gives it the certificate. And it say, and this, it does say, contains, you know, strong gory scenes and, you know, scenes of a sexual...
But by that time, you're comfortable in your seat with your Coke, your nachos, your popcorn, and then the decision has kind of been made at that point.
Yeah, I think perhaps... Now, because censorship's probably getting a bit more lax, or just it's being a bit more fluid in interpretation, that it allows... There should be more advertising done, I think, to focus on, you know, whether this is suitable for you to go watch. But aside from that, it's still a very decent film, very good film. Danny Boyle is shown he's a consummate, you know, puts out good films, and this is another one to add to it. And I think I preferred it to Slumdog, which won all the awards.
I enjoyed Slumdog. I really did enjoy Slumdog. But I'm looking forward perhaps to going to see this one at some point.
If you want to see it, Cineworld is showing it tonight at 10 to 9. Viewer showing it at 6:30. You probably not catch that one there. But they're also showing it at 9 o'clock. Or Cineworld is showing it tomorrow at 4 o'clock, 6:30, 10 to 9 and 11:05. Viewer showing it at 6:30, 9 o'clock, and 11:30. So,
and are both of those films, both G.I. Joe as well, are going to make it into next week?
They will do. Yeah, they will still have quite a few screenings. Being Easter, they're more aimed at a wider audience. Trance will probably go on. Will go on till next week at least as well. Also coming up this week or tomorrow, opening at the cinemas, you've got new Disney film, The Odd Life of Timothy Green, about parents who can't have children, so they make a list of all the things they would imagine their child to have, plant it in their backyard, and within a little bit of time, a kid appears who has all these qualities.
Under a gooseberry bush, presumably.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Is this cartoon or live action?
No, it's a live action family film, which seems quite nice. Also, you've got Dark Skies, apparently a new horror phenomenon, but it's kind of like paranormal activity, involving, we believe, aliens. I believe it's aliens from what I gathered from the trailer.
Oh, okay.
So our family are been targeted by outer forces. Yeah, also you've got Spring Breakers, an interesting one. It's directed by Harmony Korine, who's more of sort of an sort of alternative on the outside of Hollywood director. He's done films like Gummo. I think he wrote the script for Kids. So he's slightly a controversial alternative director. But this includes Disney stalwarts Vanessa Hudgens and Selena Gomez. And, of course, it's got James Franco in as well, and it's about a bunch of girls on spring break who get involved with a gangster. And
played by James Franco, presumably.
Yes, yes. So it looks interesting. It's claimed to be one of the slickest, coolest films of the year, but we'll wait and see for that. And also coming out next week, a bit further on, is the new Tom Cruise sci-fi film Oblivion, set in a post-apocalyptic Earth, where humanity is living, you know,
a post-apocalyptic life, I guess.
Basically, yes, yes. Yes. It looks very spectacular. So look forward to that. And a bit further along, in a couple of weeks' time, when I get back, will be Iron Man 3, which I'm looking forward to.
Which time of your holiday of it's not really a holiday, is it? It's more learning kind of thing.
Yeah, so I won't be in to review stuff, but I will jump back in the seat as soon as possible, and Iron Man 3 will be a good one to see.
And we will have a deputy in for you next week, he said optimistically.
Cool.
I'm in contract negotiations at the moment on that. But thanks for coming in. Have a good break. We'll see you in 2 weeks, but the slot will continue after 6 o'clock next Thursday. Sky Keeble. Thank you very much. I often use your surname. Sky Keeble.
thank you
very much, sir.